Page burners.
Now I'm recording.
Hey, Cameron.
What?
Do you ever get imposter syndrome?
Always.
Well, I feel like this is the episode where maybe we confront that.
I don't think it is.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, welcome to Page Burners.
Page Burners. I almost missed it.
Where we, yeah.
I'm a bad host.
Bad hosts, bad takes, bad literature.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cameron.
Yep, and today we are going and looking at some of our writing in the past. Perhaps it's maybe hopefully decent, perhaps it's horribly wrong. Either way, we are looking in the mirror a bit today.
I think I'm going to learn just how bad of an author I was, and probably still am, but there is a big... Okay, so... Okay. Yes. The reason we're doing this is because the other day, my mom uncovered a whole thing of, like, elementary school homework and whatnot that I had done. And included it were some stories that I wrote in elementary school. Apparently, I wanted to be an author as a kid. It was somewhere in between when I wanted to be a spy and when I wanted to be a race car driver. Mm. Author was just sandwiched in there for
it. Is author... And a spy still on that list somewhere.
I mean, author might be, but more as a hobby than a career.
Yeah. Okay. And so you've got stuff from when you were how old?
So at least second grade. I'm pretty sure this one was from second grade. And then I've got the latest one I've got here was from either fourth or fifth grade.
Gotcha.
And then you've got stuff more from like high school, right?
Yes, I was about 16, give or take a year when I wrote these. I've divided it into four categories. I've got religious, edgy.
Okay.
What else did I take here? Sorry. Sea shanty.
All right.
And frozen parody.
That's just a cycle of life, isn't it?
Yep, it is. I've got a range from that creative writing class I took that I listed as a...
elective?
Well, not only elective, but in episode one, we were talking about our qualifications.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
This is my crappy qualification. This is my bad literature that I'm okay to have bad takes on, and we are sharing them today. Cameron, do we want to go back and forth?
Sure. So let's start from the beginning.
Ooh.
I don't know if this is the first story I ever wrote. I think it was second grade. I do remember writing this. I didn't remember how garbage it was. Now, I don't want to hear any, oh, that's adorable. No, we're here to tear the crap out of 6-year-old Cameron.
Okay.
This, or 7-year-old probably, this kid wrote some garbage.
Okay.
I don't care if it was cute. I don't care if it led to anything bigger.
Yeah, screw little Cameron.
Yeah.
Screw this kid.
I'm going to discourage the crap out of the 7-year-old kid. Who happens to be me. All right, this is called The Beatles Attacked.
Spiders' vibes already. No,
it's funny because I didn't trust my own handwriting, which is weird because now that I'm looking at it, my handwriting hasn't changed much since third grade.
I feel that. I feel that so much.
Yeah, it might have even gotten worse in some ways. So, I don't know why I'm holding this because I typed it up.
Okay.
Yeah, let me... I am such a good host. Move my computer a little closer to the microphone. There we go.
You sound better right there.
So much better.
Very good. I feel gross about that.
All right. The Beatles Attacked. Chapter 1. Today was an ordinary day, but yesterday was bad. Let me tell you a little story of what happened. Yesterday, my class was studying mealworms. Jacob, can you think of what inspired this?
There were mealworms.
Whoa!
In a class?
My class was studying mealworms. Interesting. And it's funny because like every character name in here, almost every character name is like someone I knew in that class.
Yeah.
They're not the same character, but they're someone I... The names. Yeah. Anyway.
Yesterday, my class was studying mealworms, but only I knew that something was weird with them. They had antenna. And I want to point out, I spelt antenna correctly here, and that shocks me because it's the only instance in this story that I do. I told my friends all about it. What do you think is wrong? Asked Ron. I don't know, I said. Now something really weird is happening. The mealworms were morphing into beetles without even being a pupa. I was learning all about mealworm cycles.
But no pupa?
No pupa. Now this is being weird, said Eric. Chapter 2.
Cliffhanger. Hey, he knew the cliffhanger thing.
The beetles were growing 3 heads. Should we tell the teacher? Asked Chasten. Of course not, I yelled. Don't you remember that Mrs. Watson hates us?
Oh, dear. She graded this, didn't she?
That's not even the name of my teacher. Oh, I made that up.
Gotcha.
No, said Chasten. Let's think of another idea, said Ron. The beetles were now 50 feet tall.
Wait. They went from mealworms to beetles
in
to,
the blink of an eye
to 3 heads.
3 heads, and then 50 feet tall.
That is a massive stretch.
Now I think I have a better idea, said Chasten. Let's tell the principal. No way. I'm not talking to Mr. Ruley. I have an idea. So that's 3 ideas we've had.
Yep.
We can't talk, I yelled. The beetles are now destroying the principal's office.
I think he knows.
Cool, said Chasten. You're right for once. Chapter 3. You notice that this is mostly dialogue.
Yeah.
And that's
a creative choice.
Either that or I had no idea what I was doing. Anyway.
Creative choice.
Chapter 3. Any ideas? Okay. 7-year-old me is obsessed with saying, anyone got any ideas? It's driving me nuts.
It's a cool line.
Any ideas? Nope, said Eric. Oh no, said Chasten. One of the beetles just ate Mrs. Watson. Cool, Ron, Eric, and I all said. Get out of the school, said Mr. Ruley. Why? It's not like 50-foot tall beetles are taking over the city, right? Asked Chasten, who is for some reason like suddenly stupid. And, like,
why?
I don't know. That's why we have to go, said Ron, Eric, Mr. Ruley, and I.
Wait, Mr. Ruley's there now?
Mr. Ruley's here. Okay. We didn't go see Mr. Ruley. He's just here.
His office was destroyed, so where else will he be?
Oh, and Chasten speaking. Oh, tell me again why we have to leave? Just forget it, I said. I saw that the Beatles had something weird.
Weird, right? Ooh, so much weird stuff happening.
So much weird.
They had antenna. I think I said that already, but whatever. Stupid 6-year-old, 7-year-old me.
Stupid Cameron.
So they had antenna. Radio antenna.
Okay, I'm digging it.
Someone was controlling them. But who? I had to think hard who might have done this. So I told my friends, and they saw it too. I'm assuming the antenna. Yeah. Chapter 4. We were about to know who it was. Well, Chasten knew. He had his smart back. I don't know when he lost his, quote, smart, but he had it back for reasons unknown to man and God.
I feel very relatable. I feel that that character is very relatable.
For some reason, in all my writings for elementary school, I thought the funniest thing ever was having just a stupid character. Like, real stupid. And so every one of my stories has an idiot. Anyway, so Chasten has a smart back. I know who's into this mess. Dr. Derek, spelled D-E-R-I-C. Well, let's look for him, Ron said. When we get inside, ... We should set a letter on his chair, said Chasten. So Eric pulled a piece of paper out and wrote, we know that you're controlling the Beatles. So meet us at the park, or we'll tell the cops. 1:30 p.m. So now
you're like,
we're blackmailing this mysterious evil doctor that we've never met before.
And you've told him where you're going to be.
And the time. And we just got to meet with him. I don't know what these kids are going to do, but they're going to meet with him.
Right.
At 1:30. And they're not going to tell the cops. Except We got out and we called 911. Immediately. We say, oh, we're going to call 911 if you don't show up. And we just immediately do. So these kids at least know how to tell an adult.
Yep.
And then
to set up a sting operation.
Yes. So the cops...
Very good skill to have, by the way. Very, very good skill to have.
Sting operations? Yeah. Calling the police.
Knowing how to set up a proper sting operation.
Of course, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That goes back into your spy training.
And the cops came. I don't know why I said cops twice, but I did. So when Dr.
It's the cops of the cops. Like the best.
The cops have to have cops. Yeah. Who polices a police? Anyway. So when Dr. Derek came.
If only it was that simple.
when Dr. Derek came, he was waiting there. Then we came with the police. You're under arrest, Derek, said a cop. No, you fooled me again. Again. I'll get you back this time if it's the last thing I do, yelled Dr. Derek. The end.
All right.
Chapter 5.
The end. Chapter 5.
Well, that's the story. See you in my next book in The Lizards Attacked. Bye for now. Till the next book.
I wonder what would happen if the lizards attacked.
I think lizards. It's funny. I remember starting that book. I don't think I ever fit book, quote unquote. The entire thing is 600 words.
Yeah.
But I never... I think I saw it in a notebook. I'm not going to read it. So yeah, these children are narcs, and that's probably for the best. I don't know what Dr. Derek's motivation is. We need more vital information on this. Mm. Why did Chasten become stupid? Why did he become smart again? We'll never know.
What did they do previously to trick Dr. Derek?
And what about the 50-foot tall beetles that are eating the teachers and whatnot?
This honestly brought me back to a memory that I haven't had in a while. I think I was around your age when your age.
I was about to say I'm older than you.
You are older than me. My bad. Around six, when I wrote this one, I remember doing an assignment and, had to do like a little flip book story thing.
Yeah.
And I wrote it and I only got like 3 pages in and I turned it into Miss Teacher and the teacher was like, oh, you actually have to do like the entire book. And I'm like, oh shoot. I just have like 3 pages about a frog that sits on a log. And
nice. Good start.
So the rest of the pages were, and it hopped and it hopped and it hopped and it hopped.
Big it brain hopped. Time.
Yeah. So I made like, 9 pages of and it hopped, and then I ended it with like and it stopped. It was
that's malicious compliance right there.
I did not get a good grade on that one.
You should have. Teacher didn't know what was going on. All right, give me one of your other ones. Your other masterpiece. Your masterpiece.
All right, I'm afraid to call any of these ones better than the rest.
Really?
Better
than what I just wrote?
Well, I think apples and oranges.
Okay, yeah.
I'll go ahead and I'll... Let's start with the shanty then.
Okay.
All right.
Is it better than the Wellerman?
It is not better than Wellerman. In this, I was getting into meter, but I knew nothing of bridges or verses, so it is just one very repetitive shanty.
All right, do it.
I don't remember which kind of tune I used to this, but it goes, now come round ye sailors and listen to me. I'll tell you a tale of a ship out at sea. They fought a foul tempest unlike what ye've known, for this night again the heavens have blown. A demon, a tempest, a monster whose form is none other than the reins of the storm. She cried for men's blood in the shrieks of the wind. This temptress, when I meant tempest.
Temptress.
She gathered all those who have sinned. She first took the winds and ripped them off course. Then came the rain from an unearthly source. She battered and tossed them till their strength was lost. The tempest would take them no matter the cost. She swept them off deck with their limbs cold and strong. If you call me a liar, you're sure to be wrong. They prayed and they wept to their father above, but pitiful sailors, he showed them no love.
I feel like this is not what sailors would want to sing.
Nope.
All right.
Very much not. The captain, he begged that he might be spared. She replied with a watery air, "Captain, you'll live, but the rest go to hell. You'll be the one who outlived them to tell."
Holy cow. Are you sure this isn't the edgy one?
No, this is the shanty. The world of my madness, my fury, my maw, this thousand sharp teeth infused in my jaw. What jaw she has, I don't know. The coward agreed to sell the men's souls, and then tempest would swallow them whole. The currents turned violent. The sea opened wide, like that wasn't already happening.
Yeah.
The thousand sharp teeth made her sure that they died, leaving one man on sea out to drift. His life in the story was his only gift. He shared it with me, and don't you forget that selling men's souls only brings more debt. I beg you, don't scoff at this single small tale, for one night she'll get ya when you're out on sail.
I think you needed a chorus.
I definitely needed a chorus, and man, there is some conflicting imagery in here.
Yeah,
it's like what is the timeline of these events happening? It's kind of just, and I know you may say like, oh, it's just a hurricane of words. That's not a good creative choice.
It's like this type of sea shanty. Oh, I keep turning away from the mic. It's like the kind of sea shanty where they sing right before a mutiny.
Yeah. Like, the captain's going to sell our soul.
Which kind of defeats the purpose of the...
Yeah, it's supposed to keep good spirits and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soon may the wellmen come. Whatever. Yeah.
And then there's a farewell and adieu, our fair Spanish maiden. Farewell and adieu.
My Bonnie lies over the ocean.
Yeah.
I think that's a shanty, isn't it?
I think so as well. I don't know. But they're... Essentially, it's to keep spirits. They're often good spirits and often about like the women you'll see when you get back home.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to usually, not death and destruction.
Yes.
Someone's going to correct us about that. Someone's going to be like, well, here's all these ancient ones about krakens and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yep.
All right.
So that is that one.
I got one here. This one, I think, was in third grade. This one was for a grade, because I have a rubric here. Mm-hmm. We'll go over my rubric afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it is called The Day I Swapped My Brother for Two Mice. And that's the cover
mice,
right there.
Two mice in a trench coat. Okay. All right.
Man, I want to get away from my brother forever. My name is Jim. Jim... Posada Kasuka Dikasia Kakopoka. That's my last name. My brother is a real pain. He's always mean. I wish he was in a different world. I want to get away from my sister too. She's a double pain. 3! My friend Dee Dee is coming over today.
Wouldn't you think it would be two if it's only a double pain?
No, this is a 3! It's a double triple pain.
It's a 3! double pain.
That means 6 pains, man. 6. My friend Dee Dee is coming over today. Hey, here she is now. Hi, Jim, she said. Cool, I'll swap you something for them. I'm pretty sure I missed a line here. Hmm. I think this was my second draft of this. And I just straight up left a sentence or two out. So I'm pretty sure... Dee Dee brought some mice, and Jim was like, yo, those are some dope mice.
That's just mice like that. They got there.
Yeah, gang signs. So she says, cool, I'll swap you something for them. What? So I led her to my room. I showed her my sports cards. A clown that sings.
A joke book. My sister's doll.
Can we go back to the clown that sings?
I don't know if it's a doll, if it's just a freaking actual clown that just chills there.
A man in your closet standing there and
sings. Oh, that's Bill. He's fine. He's chill.
Sings you sweet lullabies that no one will believe you.
And he wakes me up by honking his nose. We just gave PTSD. We just triggered PTSD for some of our listeners. So I showed her my sports cards, a clown that sings, a joke book, my sister's dolls, and all of my stuff. But she just said no. When we went to the backyard, we saw my brother. I'll swap you my brother, I said. Okay, does he eat spinach? He loves it, I said. My brother plays basketball with his eyes closed.
Like that has anything to do with
the just selling the qualifications. You'll love him. He plays basketball. Okay. So my brother was taken to Dee Dee's house. He didn't know it. Guess why?
He was asleep.
We never get a resolution for that. At least I don't think we do.
It's your guess.
So where did you get those mice? Said my sister. Mm-hmm. I swapped our brother for them. I'm going to tell Mom, she yelled. Oh, no, you don't. And then things get weird. And I tied her up.
Okay.
Oh, no, I said. Mom's home. I went downstairs and said, Mom, come see my mice. She looked at them and said, that's nice, dear. Where's your brother? She asked. I didn't answer her. Then my mom saw my sister and untied her, and she yelled, Jim swapped him for those mice again. Again?
I love how you use the word again in these.
There's clearly some things that I liked as a kid, that literary whatnots, tropes.
There's some, what is it called? Continuity in these that, like, need some more explanation. Like, how did you trick Dr. Derek the first time?
There's a story behind every story. Leave the audience wanting more. All right. Again, you are in so much trouble, said my mom, and boy, was she mad. Young man, you know we don't swap brothers for other stuff. We had to adopt 35 boys because you swapped them for stuff. CPS must have loved her. 35 brothers I've had. 35. And
that your poor mother.
And I know you're thinking, again? Yes, I had 35 mean brothers. And then Mom said, go get your brother and you are grounded. So I went.
So I feel like this is how you got your cards and your weird clown in the closet.
What if the weird clown in the closet was one of my brothers and I just hid him away from the world? And Mom thought he was missing. And CPS just accepted it.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Children are so dark in the weirdest ways.
LOL, so random. I just, you know, kids, at what age do we outgrow the random means funny phase? Because it wasn't third grade.
No. Sometimes you can still watch ASDF and...
ASDF is a treasure.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet it's still LOL, so random.
We all like trains on this blessed day.
Yeah. Besides, I think the last one, in my opinion, where they started getting like the weird fart your face off. Humor.
All I know is my ringtone was beep beep I'm a sheep for a while.
Beep beep, beep
I'm a sheep. Said beep beep, beep I'm a sheep. Beep, anyway. Beep.
All right. Yeah.
So I went to Dee Dee's house. Once I got there, I said to Dee Dee, can I have my brother back? I'll give you back your mice and $100. Where did this kid get $100?
Obviously, another brother that went missing.
I stole the allowance of every one of my missing brothers. Sorry, I swapped your brother for this cool bome suit. I spelled it B-O-M-E. I have no idea what I meant.
B-O-M-E.
Bomb suit?
Bomb.
Boom suit? I don't know, but it's B-O-M-E. That's a word now.
Okay.
And it's related to a suit. Who did you swap him to? I yelled as I held Dee Dee to my face. Who did you swap him to? He's like,
but held her by the face.
Held her by the face. Bill, she said, very scared. Bill, I yelled. Crack. I yelled so loud that I broke a window. All he did was dribble a basketball, she said. So Dee Dee and I went to Bill's house. We saw him and said, Bill, can I have my brother back? Sorry, you're a little too late. I swapped your brother to Charlie for this awesome calculator, Bill said. You what? Crack, crack. I yelled so loud I broke two windows. I swapped your brother for this calculator, he said. Come on, let's go get Charlie, Jim.
He doesn't know how to trade up.
No, he don't.
He traded a sweet these are bomb bad suit.
Sorry, these are bad swaps.
Yeah.
I don't know when in my life I ever said swap this much. Considering I was obsessed with Pokemon trading cards at this time. Why did I start using swap? I don't know. Anyways.
Well, you swapped it out for trade.
I must have. At Charlie's house, I said, Charlie, give me my brother now. But Charlie said, sorry, Jim, I swapped your brother for this smelly shoe.
These trades get worse. It's like people don't like your brother.
All he does is dribble basketball, man. That's not a very good character trait.
It's like everyone else gets more and more ripped off because his value keeps depreciating. Cameron's brother, if you're listening, that is not true. You're a great guy.
There's a story there. So at the time I wrote this and like up to third grade, my brother and I had a pretty rocky relationship. Mm. And then some circumstances happened at about fourth grade. And after that, we were like best friends from that point forward.
Yeah.
We fought a lot up until like fourth grade. So this is coming from somewhere. We're good now. We're fine. We're good. Nice. We're good.
Yeah.
I swapped your brother for this smelly shoe. I want to know why it smells so bad.
Just one
shoe. I want to know why it smells so bad. You know how much I like science. Yes, I know. Now throw that shoe away and tell me who you swapped him to, I yelled. This time, I didn't break a window. Ron, Charlie said. Every one of my stories has a Ron. I don't know why, but growing up, I loved the name Ron. I don't know if it was because of Harry Potter or if it's because the end of my name has Ron in it. I don't know, but I was obsessed with that name and it was in every single one of my stories.
Screw you, Ron.
I didn't even know a Ron.
I don't think any.
At least not at this point. I knew some later on, but I didn't know at this point.
Rons don't exist.
One of the Rons listening is just furiously typing.
No, think on this.
One star.
Have you never met a Ron?
I have met a Ron.
Yeah, I've met a Ron.
Yes. I had a friend in high school who was a Ron.
Are you certain?
I'm pretty sure. He might have been an imaginary friend, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't.
Okay. Just like me.
Yes. I like to imagine that we're friends.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm sorry. I'm doing too much interrupting. Okay. There's a narrative happening.
Anyway,
it's at Ron's house.
Yeah. So Charlie says, Ron. Ron? Okay, let's go get my brother. And we did. The whole way, we just said, throw away that shoe, Charlie. I guess Charlie didn't throw away the shoe or something.
He for science.
Ron! There are 19 O's in that, Ron. I yelled so loud, I broke three windows in a row. Not at the same time, in a row. Ting, ting, ting.
That's a good image. I don't mind that.
Give me my brother now! Ron said, give me $100 and I will. So I grabbed the $100 bill that I gave to Dee Dee for telling the truth out of Dee Dee's hands, and I gave it to Ron. Here, now give me my brother, I said. And he did. All four of us cheered. We went home with my brother. I now have to sleep with my brother. I hate that. He snores. If I get a 37th brother, I'm not swapping him.
What? Why wouldn't you? Like, that doesn't make sense. How's that a good conclusion?
Because he had to go through so much work to get a swapped brother back. Oh. Anyway, the end.
All right.
Parenthesis. Mom didn't say anything about my sister.
This Why are you trafficking children, Cameron, as a child?
You gotta add to the as a child portion. And hey, this guy's Jim. This isn't me. This is Jim that, in first person.
That is, you know, that's also going into the out of context.
Oh, I'm going to hate editing the out of context thing.
Yeah. Someday. You actually want someday.
No, we need content first.
Yeah, we need more than 12 episodes.
We need more than 12 listeners. At that point, it won't be a weird flex.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a mountain of character development in 600 words.
Mm.
And bless my teacher who included spelling corrections in this thing. Now, here's my my rubric for this story. Ideas and content, 5 out of 5. Voice, 2 out of 2. Word choice, 3 out of 3. That's what slop gets you. Sentence fluency, 6 out of 6. Spelling, 6 out of 7. I can't spell for my life.
Yeah.
Paragraphs, 5 out of 5. I don't know why, because I had a ton of run-on paragraphs there. It's fine.
That's fine.
Capitals and punctuation, 5 out of 5. Title, 2 out of 2. Total grade, 37%.
Wait, 37%?
Sorry, 97%.
Oh, gosh.
I don't read good.
Okay. We're good. Obviously, we don't read good. We have a podcast about bad literature.
And we're the bad takes on the bad literature.
We are the bad takes on the bad literature. All right, Cameron.
Jacob.
We going edgy or we going frozen?
I feel we need to cap it off with frozen. Go edgy.
All right. So I got two from the edgy period. This one, this was a creative writing assignment in which we took short stories written by other classmates and condensed them into poems.
Okay. So you didn't do the edge, you just modified the edge.
I modified the edge into my edge. Not my edge, because it's not my experiences in any way, but it's still like...
It's one step closer to the edge.
Yes.
And I'm about to break!
Oh man, I miss that man. This one is called Hide and Seek. Everybody lifts up carpet, searching for the hidden dirt. What am I but a target?
Wait, what? Hang on. Who lifts up carpet looking for dirt? If you got dirt under your carpet, then you're probably like need to do a deep clean.
It's a very relatable thing. If you know how many times you've been out of the room and I've lifted up your carpet to see
carpet.
That rug over there, I've lifted it up several times looking for the hidden dirt.
Everyone does it. Anyway, go on.
Everyone does it. What am I but a target? Judgment I cannot avert. I used to lurk through life in shadow, hiding secrets under rugs, standards that I could not follow, imperfections drowned in drugs.
Oh.
My medication couldn't save me. I cannot hide from blinding light. And now I'm here, call me crazy. I belong with walls of white.
Wake me up inside.
Wake me up.
Yeah, that's edgy.
That's pretty edgy there. Like, this person's like, I'm so stressed that I need medication to feel normal, but even then, I feel like I would be judged for that medication, and I feel I'm so anxious that I would be safer in a medical facility in a white cushioned room.
Yeah.
Though I will say I had a ton of anxiety on that. And I put a lot of effort into this poem, even though I feel like the first two stanzas are basically the same. I feel like I spent a lot of thing on this poem. And even though it would be derivative from someone else's work, like, still super edgy, you stupid young Jacob.
I mean, to be fair, everybody has an edgy phase at some point.
Everyone has an edgy phase.
I think it's because we started suddenly having emotions in, like, middle school, in high school, and thought that thought of weird ways to process it.
Yeah. Remember when you used to have emotions in high school? Like that,
yeah,
those
yeah,
were
I
crazy.
Threw those away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I outgrew those.
Yeah. but yeah, like there's a lot that you're having to process. There's a lot of stress knowing that you're growing up. You're starting to realize that some of the things that you grew up wanting and believing weren't as concrete or what's the word I'm looking
for? Your worldview essentially gets challenged.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, your worldview is changing and shifting due to new influences, and you're beginning to have the mental capacity to process that dissonance.
Late stage childhood development, yeah.
Yeah. It's a frightening thing. So definitely a lot of anxiety at that point. I still think I deal with a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Me too.
But I think I got a better grip than here. This second one of the edgy, which I'll read here, is called Aloud, spelled A-L-O-U-D.
Okay. Like out loud, yeah.
Yeah. I once dreamt I was great. I dreamt I could speak aloud and with vigor, but I am so weak. I've often been told your voice carries strong, but pardon me, mother, you must have been wrong. My voice is unsteady, my tone I can't keep. When in a large room, I put it to sleep. When I stand up stage, my legs fill my heart. I wish I could speak as if it were art. Drawing my words from oceans of thought, I guess some things just cannot be taught. I once dreamt I could speak with power and zeal. With my unbelief, it'll never be real. So in this one, I think this one's a little bit better structured. It's still very childish in its meter and tone.
Yeah. It's basic, I think, is the word. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But
no, it's
indicative of growth.
It's very, very basic. And I think in this stage, I was still very... I grew up with some speech impediments there. So I was very afraid of public speaking. I still think to some extent I am. But yeah, I figured I'd just write about my... struggles with public speaking there, which is so weird. But, well, I guess it's a little easier when you're in a room with a good friend and you're just recording.
Yeah, because we can edit everything. Yeah, it's
yeah, you made
recording a podcast is nothing on talking in front of an audience.
Yeah, you make a ton of racist jokes in these things, and no one ever hears them. That is not true. Cameron does not do that.
I'm trying to find, because I didn't think about this, because I'm doing like elementary school stuff, you're doing high school stuff, yeah. And there's two very different things there. I'm trying to see if I still have, I don't. I used to, when I was 18, I picked up guitar, you know, pretty late to pick up an instrument, but yeah. Still. And I started writing my own music, and it was absolute garbage.
Yeah.
I didn't think that at the time. I thought it was pretty dope. It was garbage.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see if I still have those songs that I wrote, because yeah. I had a couple real edgy ones. Yeah.
Do you mind if I tell a brief anecdotal story still about my crappy high school writing?
Sure.
While you're looking for this.
Sure.
All right. So, I had a girlfriend in high school.
Nice.
And I had this girlfriend around Valentine's Day. And you had six different class periods.
Okay.
So I decided that I would write six different little, like, love poems. And I'd take it to each one of her class periods before she got there. And it would be at her desk. And it would be delivered to her as a little Valentine's Day thing at each one of her class periods.
Cute.
So I went ahead and I did this. And... I started to realize I only had five and I didn't know where my sixth one went. So I, fortunately, I also had a class period with her. So I was planning to give her chocolates in that period as well as the one. So I just did not give her a poem on the class period that I had, and I gave her some chocolates instead. So it worked over real smooth, and there's no mishap in the Valentine's-ing.
Nice.
But I got an assignment back from an English teacher, and there's a multiple page essay, and I got it back, and I realized that there's an additional sheet stapled to the back.
Oh!
And I look, and it is the sixth love poem. Titled For You.
Oh, Jacob.
And there was a note on it from the teacher that said, "Sweet, no thanks." I tried to explain to her that I had made several of these and I had put them, I tried one for each class period, and I accidentally stapled this assignment, which was due on Valentine's Day, the same day that I was doing all this, and it just got stapled with other people's.
Did she buy it?
I could tell by the look on her face that she did not believe me, and she thought I was trying to save face. I did not like this teacher at all.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
Yeah. So even before this, declaration of love stapled on the back of an essay gifted to my teacher on Valentine's Day, titled For You, I did not get along with her. She did not get along with me. And it was just very, very awkward. That is when someone asks me for an awkward story of my life, that is my go-to.
And she's probably telling all her friends, like, this student.
It's so weird. And I'm like,
this little creeper.
It was not intended for you. She was really, really gross too. I did not like that lady.
All right. So I can't find my stuff. I must have not saved it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I could find it somewhere, but I'm not going to bother now.
Episode 2 of this.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got 3 other things here.
Why? I just got the one. I figured the anecdote would brighten things up from the edgy.
Well, I just threw aside the stuff I wrote in 4th and 5th grade that is substantially better, but still garbage, because we ain't about that. I haven't. This one I did not look at until, like, right before we started recording. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it existed. I have no memory of writing this. So I didn't type it up, and it's all in third grade cursive.
Cameron, may I make one note? You, several times you've kind of complained about my flipping of pages while talking.
This is 20-year-old loose leaf.
I know, but here's the thing, like, I've started trying to, like, pause before flipping a page so I can almost, like, flip it without the speaking in there mixed in with the shuffling papers, but I'm just seeing you
go in. I do everything digitally. I'm not used to this. I don't do physical media like you do. Anyway, this is called...
You're only hurting yourself, Cameron. You know this. This bothers you more than it does me.
Anyway. This is called time travel, and I spelt travel wrong. Mm-hmm. I think I wrote this in third grade because it's in cursive, and the second half of third grade was the only time in my life that I actually wrote in cursive.
Amen.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm bad at reading cursive, and I'm bad at reading my own handwriting.
You're also bad at writing cursive.
Actually, you know what? My cursive was better than my print. I gotta say that. Problem is I just... No one in our generation uses cursive anymore because it's a dying language. Anyway.
Yeah.
Chapter 1. The Time Machine. Yawn. It's Friday, April 13th. Holy crap. We're recording this on April 13th.
Whoa.
I did not plan that.
Whoa.
Anyway.
It's not Friday, though.
It's not Friday. I'm going to watch cartoons. Hey, Poodle Doodles is on. 2 hours later. I think I will have some breakfast. 8 minutes later. I actually have that in parentheses. I wonder how good Mike is on his time machine. Mike Brain is the smartest person in Florida. He knows everything. I've never lived in Florida.
Well, here's the thing. Sorry, Floridians. I don't think there's much competition.
Oh! We're offending everyone today.
Oh, dear.
We're not going to have an audience after this.
Including ourselves.
Oh, boy. Now we're going to have to... At least we haven't offended the Germans this time.
No.
It's been a few episodes since
that
time.
They offended the world a long time
ago. Oh, dude, stop!
Okay, well, at least there's...
Anyway! Mike Brain is the smartest person in Florida. He knows everything! 5! At Mike's house. Hey, Josh. Josh is my name. Said Mike. My time machine is done. Cool. Let's try it out, I said. Okay. Mike pressed 8 buttons. Pulled a lever. Pressed 2, 9, 0, and 7. And a 5. Then pressed start. And I like how I wrote out start, like capital letters but in cursive.
Ooh, that's kind of pretty. Start.
It's still in cursive, but they're all capital letters, and that just does not work in cursive.
That does not, no.
Ding! Soon it was Friday, April 13th, 2075. Everything was big.
I wonder if April 13th is a Friday in 2075.
Everything was big, silver, and, well, big. There was a flying skateboard with no wheels. So, this is the future, I said. Josh, I guess it is. Chapter 2, The Hoverboard.
Keep going.
I just love that you did like edgy but sincere poems and whatnot.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm doing.
No, it's great.
We have to end this on your Frozen parody. Anyway.
Yeah.
I decided to fly a hoverboard, which is a flying skateboard with no wheels. But I was no good at it. So I just stayed 10 feet in the air. It was scary. Mike was so good, he never messed up. Soon, I lost my balance and fell. Splat. And again, I do the cursive uppercase. Don't worry.
Good use of... there's some good, like, sounds in there when you do that. Like,
I'm assuming I learned about onomatopoeia at the time.
Yeah. Also, I've caught a couple of SpongeBob references here. So you definitely saw the SpongeBob episode where Squidward goes to the future and everything is chrome. You did not remember the word chrome, but... Everything was shiny and metallic.
Anyway, I messed up, and I fell in a box of mud. Soon after, I gave up. This is hard, I said. Don't give up. Just look at me. I'm good at this, Mike said, as he did a double backflip. Easy for you. Then I looked up. I tapped Mike's shoulder. What? He asked. Then he looked up and saw what I saw. We saw flying frogs. Oh boy, frogs again.
The chemicals in the water.
Let's get out of here, we yelled as we ran to the time machine. Mike pressed buttons. Ding!
It's just a single ding. Ding.
Soon, there were trees everywhere.
May I say, I love the visual of him just going around pressing buttons, and then just one ding. Like, there's not a ton of response to all that input. There's just one.
All right, soon there were trees everywhere. Squawk! Squawk! Birds squawked. Chirp! Chirp! Birds chirped.
Definitely onomatopoeia.
Mike, where are we? I asked. I don't know. I didn't see the buttons I pressed. Chapter 3, The Dino Chase.
I looked behind me. The year screen said 800,000 BC. 800,000 BC? That's the time of the dinosaurs! My voice echoed.
Said every creationist. Sorry, I'm offending so many people today. I guess maybe this is a defense mechanism. I feel very vulnerable right now, maybe.
Okay, to be fair, if it was a creationist joke, it would have been like 8,000 years, or it would have been dinosaurs. Yeah. I stepped out of the time machine. 3 seconds later, the ground was shaking. Mike, do we dare look up? Let's do it slowly. We looked up. Roar! Shall we run for our lives? I asked. Oh, yes, let's.
That's a very polite way to agree to flee for your lives.
I watched a lot of cartoons, man. It's fine.
I love it.
A T-Rex was chasing us. Soon, we saw a big rock. Josh, did you know that has diamonds and granite on it? I think I just learned what granite was because we just got granite tops in my house.
Hmm.
If we can get the T-Rex to hit the rock, he will be knocked out for, let's see, 2 hours, said Mike.
Very cartoonish.
Mike is very smart.
Mm-hmm. Smartest at least, man in Florida.
At least I haven't said, if my calculations are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I think it's crazy. We ran as fast as we could to the big rock. Right before we hit the rock, we stopped and ducked. The T-Rex hit the rock and got knocked out. We ran to the time machine. Mike, you are smart. Mike pressed 8 buttons, pulled a lever, pressed a 1, 2 9s, and an 8. Soon we were home. Chapter 4. Scotland. Yawn. After a bad day of time travel, it's good to be home. Wait, this is not home. Mike! With like 19 eyes. What? We're in Scotland!
The end.
The end, yes.
Wow, what a twist.
All right, I got perfect scores on idea, voice, word choice, sentence fluency, paragraphs, capitals, and punctuation, but I got 6 out of 7 on spelling. Another 97%. Wonderful story, said presumably Miss Callahan, my third grade teacher.
Excellent.
All right, what's your last one?
Yeah, before doing this, I would like to state a couple of things. One, my teacher said I was most improved in creative writing.
Why didn't you have the old stuff? We need the garbage.
I think some of that. Well,
if my mom didn't pull out a box of keepsakes, I would never have had the stuff. So whatever.
I also think I saved the ones that back then I felt more comfortable with.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Do your Frozen.
Yep. So this one, she gave the class a choice between, because we were doing creative fan parodies, she did a choice between Frozen and something else. And of course, this is like 2014, 2015, Frozen come out. Everyone loves it. I'm very much annoyed, because Let It Go is on the radio, on repeat.
And you just couldn't hold back anymore.
I couldn't hold back anymore. So I write a Frozen parody in my class, full of creative writing people that love Frozen, where the parody is about hating Frozen.
Nice.
Very nice. So this is a parody of First Time in Forever. I'll try to get the cadence right.
For the first time in forever. Something like that. No, that was last I seen. Whatever.
Yep.
I'm mixing up my Disney songs.
To tell you the truth, I'm sick of this. The movie won't make my top 10 list. Who knew they'd get a million crazy fans? For months they sing the same old song. Why so often? Why so long? Because of them, Frozen 2 has plans. This was before Frozen 2. It was much more... There's much more to life than Frozen. That's not too totally strange. The fan club isn't ready for some change. Cause this needs to end tomorrow. There is music with no end. Yes, this needs to end tomorrow. And I've never liked this trend. Yes, I may be critical and picky. What Walt Disney writes, which he did not write that, but you know, it's whatever. But this needs to end tomorrow. I will be upright. Meaning like I'll stick to my guns on that. It's a stretch of lyrics. I can't wait till this flows over, which is kind of like a little like
spoken
part. But wait, but what if it doesn't? Imagine the world in 2 more years. That Frozen soundtrack in no one's ears. A sight of an anticipated win. Yes, I suddenly see my future self pulling the movie off my shelf and casting it away in a trash bin. I know it's a fixer-upper, which is completely fine by me. Why can't everybody just agree that this needs to end tomorrow? This has gone on for too long. Yes, it needs to end tomorrow. I'll resist to sing along, which I'm currently singing to a Frozen. And you know just what will happen when you don't let it go. Yes, this needs to end tomorrow. Frozen has to go. And then there's a little part of the song where Elsa's singing is like, come let it in, come let them see the best music. You know it has to be, it's real, so real. Yes, we all know that this cartoon is the greatest show. And that part is listed as like the Elsa fan club.
Yeah.
It's never gonna end, it's never gonna end, cause haters gonna hate, us haters gonna hate. Tell the world that Frozen cannot wait, can't wait, cause this needs to end tomorrow. Come let them in, come let them see, oh, waiting for this crap to end. Let's see, I'm losing the track of the music here, but I'm waiting for this crap to end. The best music, you know it has to be Walt Disney's rolling in his grave. They must know that it's all pretend. It's so real, yes, we all know. Because this needs to end tomorrow, so I'll fight it here today. And up until tomorrow, yes, up until tomorrow, this trash is here to stay. So that is my feelings on Frozen, at least at the time of writing.
Dude, that is a time capsule right there.
That is a time capsule right there.
Because remember when Frozen 2 came out and most everyone that didn't have a 6-year-old kind of just forgot about Frozen?
Yeah.
Like the world collectively realized that Frozen was kind of old.
Yeah, like, everyone knew after, like, that movie was big and it was definitely going to get a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt.
I don't remember anything from the sequel.
I have not watched the sequel.
That's for the best.
Good.
I don't remember it being bad. I just remember it being completely unnecessary.
Yep.
And completely unremarkable. Yep. So.
Yep. I get that. But on that one, I do remember... for some reason, I think another teacher had like a free period and he joined us for that one. And he did not like Frozen and he was just sitting there very glumly the entire time until mine was up and we're all singing to like the music as well with it. And he was laughing so hard. He was ecstatic that someone wrote something like that, which I get kind of happy about a bit. But yeah, that is definitely a time capsule. And here's the thing, like, if you're a fan of Frozen or any, you know, that I think that's a wholesome thing to like. Like, I get you can be maybe if culturally something is like everywhere and in your face, you might get annoyed with it. But I don't think there's like a massive issue with being a fan of something.
No. I mean, I admitted to being a My Little Pony fan last week. I think we're beyond that.
I know, but I also wanted to state because I did...
It's not bad to enjoy something that doesn't hurt other people.
Yeah. Like, if you're a fan of wholesome things, like, be a fan of those wholesome things.
Those are our bad writings, though.
I mean, it's not like we've really shown anything that we've written to compare that to. No. And I'm fine with that.
I write things mostly for future reference, if anything. Like, what? We both do Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
We both are dungeon masters. So I think if we write little descriptions here and there, like, it's fine. It's simple stuff. It's not meant to be a book.
The reason I wanted to do this was, A, just because when you look back at something you wrote 20 years ago and just how bad it was, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it gives you kind of a look back on where you came from. It's funny. I asked my mom, because I noticed after fifth grade, I didn't have any more writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my mom why that happened. Like, why did I stop writing? And she says, well, fifth grade is when you bought your PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that checks out.
Yep. It's all save files. Yep. I totally get that.
Probably what we got here.
But thank you so much for joining us. You can follow us at PageBurnersPod on Twitter and PageBurners@gmail.com. Is that right?
PageBurnersPodcast@gmail.com.
There we go.
PageBurnersPodcast.
Nearly got that last one. But thank you so much for joining us. Sorry, did you have something?
I was just going to say, add us, man. Add us.
Yes. We'll be putting a poll up there. We're planning to do several different Harry Potter fan fictions here in the future. We'll post a poll and you can go ahead and see, hey, this is the one I want to see first or something. So you'll be seeing that soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. At any rate, I'm Jacob.
I'm Cameron.
And we'll see you next time.
Farewell. So long.